Let's open this time in a word of prayer.
我们低头祷告。
Father, as we examine the requirements that you have for your local church,
天父，当我们检查你对每个当地的教会有何吩咐的。
We pray that your Spirit would search our hearts
我们求你的灵在我们心中动工。
And demonstrate to us where we are not in line with the Word of God.
向我们显明神的话要我们如何做。
And that the change that in this church needs to happen would be driven by your Spirit and by the Word.
我们教会的每样改变都遵循你的旨意。
We pray in your Son's precious name.
我们这样祷告，奉耶稣的名祈求。
Amen. Last week we looked at the second chapter of the book of Titus.
上星期我们看这个提多书的第二章。
And what the Apostle Paul does in the second chapter is he instructs Titus to teach certain groups of people certain things.
在这个提多书第二章，神教导教会里头一部分人如何的应该行。
But in order to understand really the entire argument of the Apostle Paul,
但是如果要想理解这个保罗所讲的信息的全部意义。
It's more than simply a list of things that he ought to teach certain pastors.
这比这个教一些教师或者是这个长老他们所要做的更重要。
It's more than a list of ways that certain people ought to be living.
比那些这个教会里的人如何生活更为重要。
It's instructions for a church on how it ought to function.
是一个教会应当如此的正常运作。
And in order to understand really the context of the book of Titus, we need to understand a little bit about Titus's life.
如果想要了解整个这个提多书的背景，我们需要知道一下这个提多的生活。
Titus was apparently led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul.
提多很明显的他是由保罗所带信主的。
And he was one of the men who's the members of the apostolic delegate.
他是这个以弗所的教会的代表。
He himself was not an apostle.
他自己不是一个使徒。
But he was a man of God who traveled with the apostles.
他确实和这个使徒保罗一起旅行的。
And we know that Titus was not a Jewish man. He's a Gentile.
我们知道提多不是这个犹大人，他是一个外邦人。
And if you look in Galatians chapter 2,
如果我们从这个加拉太书第二章，
the Apostle Paul breaks away from the Jewish conception of circumcision as necessary for salvation.
这里保罗讲到就是外邦人不应当跟这个犹太人一起遵循这个犹太人的规矩。
And he does this specifically in reaction to Titus.
他对着这个提多是特别的讲明。
This is what Galatians chapter 2 verses 1 through 5 says.
这就是这个加拉太书二章一到五节所说的。
Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel that I preached to the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any mean I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you.
加拉太书二章一到五节，过了十四年，我从巴拿马又上耶路撒冷去，并带着提多同去。我是奉启示上去的，把我在外邦人所传的福音对弟兄们陈说，却是背地里对那些有名望之人说的，唯恐我现在或是从前突然奔跑。但与我同去的提多，虽是希利尼人，也没有勉强他受割礼。 因为有偷着引进来的假弟兄，私下窥探我们在基督里的自由，要叫我们做奴仆，我们就是一刻的功夫也没有容让顺服他们。
Now the problem that the churches of Galatia were having is a theological question, is does a person need to be circumcised to be a believer? And we can take that a step further, as Paul does in Galatians. Is there any work of righteousness necessary for salvation? And the Apostle Paul's answer to that is absolutely not. Because the grace of God that brings salvation is free and it's without works. And so the Apostle Paul refused to see Titus, this Gentile man, circumcised. Lest people relate his circumcision to his salvation. Now this discussion becomes extremely important in the book of Titus. As we're going to see in a moment, there is a group of Jewish people who are in the church. Who are pulling people away from the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul's introduction in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Are a clear explanation of the gospel that Paul had brought. And so he points out several points of the gospel here in verse 1 and 2. It's according to the faith of the elect of God. And we speak when we speak in terms of election, we speak that God has chosen some who would believe. And it's also acknowledging of truth which is after godliness. So there are two aspects of what's necessary for salvation here. The first of all, the aspect is faith. The second one is an acknowledgement of the truth. So there's an objective level of knowledge that a person needs to have before he can become a believer. And there's a subjective element of faith which a person must have as well. Note that Paul does not at all speak in terms of works that a person needs to perform. And so the promise of salvation is found in verse 2. It's the hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Most of us in here have the verse John 3:16 memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And so if you're here this morning and you're a believer, the eternal God has made a promise to you. The eternal God who cannot and who does not lie. That those who believe in him has eternal life. And so Paul has left Titus in the island of Crete. And within the New Testament, in order to understand what's going on in the island of Crete, we have to have in our minds that there are two conceptions of the church in the New Testament. There are two ideas of the church in the New Testament. There is what we would call the church universal. And the church universal is made up of all believers. After Acts chapter 2. And ending with the return of Christ. This church includes those believers who have gone on before us, who are together with the Lord. And it includes those believers who are currently living today. And they are in the church on the basis of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there is also this other conception of church in the New Testament. And the conception of church in the New Testament is what we would call the local church. It's a gathering of a body of believers covenanted together in a specific geographical location. They meet at regular and stated times. They are led by proper leadership. They practice the biblical ordinances. And their purpose of meeting together is for worship and for mutual fellowship and service. And so there were a number of these local churches on this island of Crete. And the problem with these local churches was that they were not led by proper biblical leadership. And so Titus's mission here, is pointed out to him in verse 5. He says, "This cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed you." There are a number of these churches here on Crete that were without pastors. Note that the Apostle Paul does not say to go out to other cities, to other islands, to other countries to find their pastor. The elders are to be appointed from their own congregation. And he lists the qualifications here in verses 6 through
9.
And the qualifications here are virtually identical to those in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we won't look at those at this moment. But note that the Apostle Paul's instructions to Titus is to fix the specific problem. A church without proper leadership.
A church without proper leadership.
is a church that is desperately out of order. And so Titus's primary responsibility is to look at these churches and find qualified men to lead them. Let me ask a question here of every single man who's sitting in this room. Look at the qualifications that Paul gives to Titus. Do these qualifications match your life? Yes, these qualifications are those that are given to those who are to be pastors within the church. But these are qualifications to which every man of God ought to strive for. If our church has been without a pastor for nearly 2 years now, if we cannot find one from the midst of our own congregation, then perhaps the problem is that the men of this church will not live their lives in a manner that is pleasing to God. Perhaps they're not willing to stand up and be the men that God wants them to be. And perhaps God is withholding His blessing from His church because of that cause. And so I ask, what is preventing you from being the man that God would have you to rightly be? And these pastors are supposed to solve a specific problem within the churches. Verse 9 describes this problem. They are to be able by sound doctrine to exhort and convince the gainsayers. As he's going to describe for the rest of this chapter, that there are those who are within the church of God. And within the church of Crete, it's especially those of the Jewish people. Who are gossips. They're liars. They're teachers of false doctrine. There are those who are trying to come into the church to gain and earn money. And so in doing so, they end up defiling the church of God. There are those who are within every church who do not work for the good of the church, but for the good of their own personal gain. And to those we need to beware. And so you note in verse 14 of chapter 1, these are those who give heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men and turn others from the truth. And what Paul says about them in verse 16, they profess they know God, but in their works they deny Him. They are abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work a reprobate. And so the local church of God needs strong pastoral leadership.
所以每个当地教会需要一个强的领导。
Not only for leading and feeding the flock, but for protecting the flock against those who are within who would destroy her.
不光是要带领，而且要在真道上要保持，要不是人跌倒。
Last week we looked at how various individuals in chapter 2 were supposed to put on the doctrine of God.
上一次我们在第二章看到每一个这个具体的每一个人应该在主里怎么生活。
And how that it's the pastor's responsibility to lead in the teaching ministry of the church and telling other people, demonstrating to them how they should live their life.
至于教会的领导是怎么应该教导他们如何在这方面上有兴趣。
Demonstrating to them how the gospel is to be lived out on a day to day basis. And so when we get to chapter 3, there are instructions that Paul gives to Titus of what he is to teach to the entire church. The first one is in verse 1, to be obedient to the government.
第一条就是要提醒众人，叫他们顺服做官的、掌权的。
It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates.
就是叫他们顺服做官的、掌权的、遵他们的命、预备行各样的善事。
What Paul is commanding Titus to say here?
这里保罗叫提多告诉众人究竟要行什么。
Is that it is the Christian's responsibility and duty to be obedient to whatever government God has placed over him.
就是每个信徒每个信徒的责任就是要顺服掌权者。
And so we ask the question, is it true for every government that we are to be obedient to them?
这里我们可以问一个问题，是不是每一个掌权的我们都要顺服？
Remember who was the head of the Roman Empire during this time.
记得我们在这个时候有这个罗马的教皇。
An emperor by the name of Nero.
有一个这个教皇的名字叫尼鲁。
Nero is going to be the emperor who crucifies Peter.
也就是那个下令将彼得倒挂十字架的那个尼鲁。
Who removes the head of the Apostle Paul.
他下令把这个保罗砍头。
Who, in order to have enough light for his garden parties,
他为了要自己的这个花园里头有更多的灯，
would coat Christians in hot wax and burn them alive for candles.
他让这个那些基督徒用蜡烧死。
So the Apostle Paul instructs to be obedient unto principalities and powers and to obey magistrates.
但这里保罗还是叫信徒要服从掌权的。
And there are many of these little laws that we should be following on a regular basis.
在这个我们每日的生活有很多准则我们需要去服从。
If you are driving down the road,
如果你在路上驾车,
and you see a little sign that says speed limit 55,
如果你看到这个有一个55英里的这个上限,
in the state of Minnesota,
在宁州,
the speed limit is absolute.
这里的这个上限是绝对的。
If you are going at least 1 mile an hour faster than that, you are considered breaking the law.
也就是说你只要比它多一个英里你就被认为是犯规了。
And as the Apostle Paul says, remind them to be subject to be principalities and powers and to obey magistrates.
这里保罗又要提多提醒大家要他们顺服。
The law instructs us of what taxes we are supposed to pay.
有法律叫我们如何这个如何去付我们的税。
No matter how high they are, no matter how much we think we ought to be paying.
不管是你地位多高，你挣钱多少，你还是要付税。
And we remember the words of Jesus to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's.
记得耶稣这个教导我们。付税给该杀。
So the Apostle Paul says to remind them to be obedient to the government.
提醒大家要顺,要服从掌权的。
He says in verse 2 to speak no evil of anyone.
在第二节,他说要,不要毁谤。
And this is a very, very easy thing to do.
这个是个容易的事情。
We don't even have to do it out loud.
我们不需要大声地说出来。
Someone does something we don't like.
如果一个人做了我们不喜欢的事情,
we're sitting in the car after church.
他在这个他自己的车里,
and we simply begin to say how rude and how evil that person was to do that thing to me.
我们如果要说他不应该这样做或者说他的坏话,
and your family is sitting there listening to you say it.
可是这个听你说的这个家庭却说了,
or someone does something you don't like,
或者说有些人做了你不喜欢,
and you walk away and you're alone,
and 你自己就屈服地离开了,
and in your heart of hearts you begin to grumble and groan and think about how evil that person was. And the Apostle Paul says this ought not to be.
保罗在这里说,
that we ought to speak evil of no man. It also says that we are not to be fighters but to be gentle here in verse 2.
同样在第二节说, 不要竞争, 总要和平。
When someone does something that you don't like,
如果有人做了你不喜欢的事情,
that's offensive or that's insulting,
即使他有这个得罪你的地方,
is your first reaction to get angry and to raise your voice?
难道你必须要这个气愤,你需要这个大声的回击?
Or is your reaction to get defensive?
或者你的这个行动会有这个保护自己的?
Or is it to deal with the situation calmly and gently?
或者就像这里说说的,要和平。
And he explains in verse 3,
在第三节,
that the way that we are to act is to be in opposition to what we have ever acted before. Before we were believers,
在我们信主之前,
this is how we acted.
我们以前是这样做的,
we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
我们是无知的,是悖逆的,是受迷惑的,不是各样私欲和厌乐,常生恶毒,嫉妒的心,是可恨的,就是彼此相恨。So
the escape from these vices is found in the gospel in verses 4 through 8.
如果你想要逃脱的话,我们就要看这个第四节到第八节。
It's not works of righteousness that we've done in verse 5.
这里第五节说,不是我们因自己所行的义。
It's by the mercy of God. It's by the washing that the Holy Spirit brings to us.
乃是照神的怜悯,借着重生的喜和圣灵的更新。
It's on the basis of the blood of Christ in verse 6.
照第六节说的,是照着耶稣基督的流的血。
It's on the basis of justification, that is to say, that Christ placing His righteousness upon us in verse
7.
And so we know that as believers we are not saved by doing works of righteousness. But we also know in verse 8 that those who believed in God might be careful to maintain good works.
但是第八节却说的就是那些信神的人留意做正经事情这都是美事却与人有益。
That if you are a believer, if you profess to be a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ,
如果你信神,你像公开承认你信神,
and if you are not living your life in a manner that is Christ-like, or even attempting to live your life that's Christ-like, if you are doing some of these things in the passage, speaking evil of anyone, if you are here being a fighter and not meek,
你就像以前所说的无知悖逆受迷惑或者跟人竞争
that if you are being foolish and disobedient and deceived and deceiving others,
你就像这里所说的不是各样的私欲和厌恶长存恶毒嫉妒的心
then what you are demonstrating to everyone else around you is that you really don't believe in God. That your life has not been transformed by the gospel. Because the gospel changes your life. And without the gospel, there is no life that's changed at all.
福音你的生活不会改变
It's something that God works in on us
这是神在我们心里头每一个人心里头所做的
That God is the one who demonstrates grace and mercy towards us
神在这里向我们显明他的怜悯他的善心
That God is the one who makes us heirs to this eternal life
神要我们是让我们使我们成为他永生的后嗣
And if we are not living within that grace of God,
如果我们不生活在这样的恩典之中
then we are not living as children of God.
我们就不是照着神儿女所要求的去做
And in reality, we thus have no right to that name and to that title.
事实上我们不配得他的名
And so in remembering the gospel, we must be careful to maintain good works.
所以如果我们要记住福音我们就要有善行各样的善行
And finally, we are to avoid unprofitable debates.
最后我们要这个避免无知的辩论
Before we talk briefly about this Jewish problem,
在我们讨论这里犹太人的问题之前
Paul is not being anti-Semitic. He's not hating Jewish people.
保罗本人倒不是恨这些犹太人。
Look quickly in Romans chapter 9.
我们回到这个罗马书第九章。
In Romans chapter 9, in Romans chapter through chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is pouring out his heart for the Jewish people.
从第九章到第十一章保罗在这里把他对犹太人的感情都显露出来
And this is what he says in verses 1 through 5
这里在这个第一节到第三节
I say the truth in Christ I lie not my conscience bearing me witness in a Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren my kinsmen according to the flesh who are the Israelites to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the prophets, who are the fathers and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came and is over all, God blessed forever. Amen.
Okay, 第九章的第一节到第五节，我在基督里说真话，并不谎言，由我良心被圣灵感动，给我做见证，我是大有忧愁，心里常伤痛，为我弟兄，我骨肉之亲。就是自己被咒诅与基督分离我也愿意他们是以色列人那儿子名分荣耀祝约律法礼仪应许都是他们的列祖就是他们的祖宗按肉体说基督也是从他们出来的他是在万有之上永远可称颂的神阿们
Did you hear what the Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 3? He's saying, I am willing to give up my salvation for the salvation of the Jewish people.
他这里说，为了犹太人，他宁愿自己被咒诅，与基督分离。
And he says this as well in chapter 10, verse 1.
他在这个第十章第一节也这样说。
Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
这里保罗说，弟兄们，我心里所愿的，向神所求的，就是要以色列人得救。
And so when we speak in terms of this Jewish problem within the church, The Apostle Paul, being a Jew himself, has a great deal of love and affection for the Jewish people. And even though he says that, there are still some serious theological problems that the Jews are bringing within the church. So when we get back to Titus chapter 3, verses
9
through
11,
Paul is going to deal with some of these specific issues within the church and simply going to tell Titus it's not profitable to go into those. Verse 9 says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain."
他就说要远离这些无知辩论，因为有这些辩论而引起律法引起的竞争。
And so there are certain questions within Christian and Jewish theology that the Apostle Paul says are pointless.
所以在这个克里特的教会里头，有一些这个关于基督教犹太人和其他的这个争论是没有意义的。
How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
就像在一个针上有多少个天使能在那上面跳舞一样。
Who are the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6?
神的儿子的名字是在这个创世纪所说的。
Or how far do we take these applications of the law in the Old Testament? This was the Jewish question.
或者说就是在关于律法里头我们能走多远。
There's a debate in contemporary Judaism about the use of elevators on Saturday, the Sabbath day. And some Jewish rabbis say that you can only use the stairs on the Sabbath day. Because you're forcing the elevator to do the work. Others say you can use the elevator as long as someone else pushes the button. And others say, oh, just use the elevator. And we ask, is that a legitimate application of remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? There are, however, some questions in church that we need to ask and we need to talk about. What does the Bible say about how we ought to run and operate a church? It's an essential question. Now, the Jewish mindset is based on traditions. And there are a number of things that Chinese churches and in American churches love to do because it's their tradition. But we cannot argue from our traditions for tradition's sake. That which we do in our church must be done because it's found within the Word of God. And if we find ourselves holding a tradition contrary to the Word of God, then the Word of God must take priority over our traditions. And so verses 10 and 11 says what we ought to do to those who cause the unnecessary divisions within the church.
So
It says the man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition rejects knowing that he such is subverted and sins being condemned of himself. And so those within the church who are causing these schism, these are the heretics. Heretic is simply a word that means schismatic. They are those who ought to be removed from the church. And so the Apostle Paul, in writing to Titus, he concludes here with verse 14. He reminds them, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. There is a right way for those who profess the name of Christ to live. There is also a wrong way for those who profess the name of Christ to live. And so we ask, are you being careful in your life to maintain good works? Are you being obedient to the authorities that God has put over your head? If you were to be honest with yourself and honest with God, especially the men here, what specific things in your life are hindering you from pastoring, from being the man that God wants you to be? Because until we are to that point where we examine our lives on a regular basis and we are trying to live and be the right kind of men, the right kind of women that God would want us to be, we cannot expect God to bring blessing upon our church. He may simply bless us because of His grace and His mercy. But His blessing will not come unless we live in a manner that's pleasing to Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, that You would send Your Spirit to convict Your people of sin and of Your righteousness. That You would work in their hearts to demonstrate to them what being a true believer looks like. And that in doing so, that You would conform them into the image of Your dear Son. Father, we pray that You would raise up a generation of men within this church men who are above reproach, men who are well studied in the Scriptures and willing to teach, men who would live their lives in a godly fashion and be willing to stand up and to lead. We pray this in Your Son's precious name. Amen.